You're listening to The Erica Durand Show, Freedom-Based Luxury Lifestyle Design Radio, Episode 48. My interview on the Unleash Yourself podcast with Michael Carboni.
Aloha and welcome to The Erica Durand Show, Freedom-Based Lifestyle Design Radio. Productively live and work from anywhere in the world. Now here's your host, Erica Durand.
Aloha e komo mai. Hello and welcome to the Erica Durand Show, Freedom-Based Luxury Lifestyle Design Radio. Welcome to our 48th episode. I'm your host, Erica Durand. I'm here at the Laguna Beach House in sunny California. And I'm so thankful to our new hotel sponsors, the Laguna Beach House and the Inn at Laguna Beach in Orange County, California. It's great to be back home in my home county for a while. Just so you have a little idea on the differences between these two beautiful hotels, the Inn at Laguna Beach is practically right on the sand near Main Beach Laguna. So you know that beach that you see all the time on the TV shows with the basketball courts and everything? That's right outside the door here. And the views here of the ocean are simply amazing. Then, a little ways down the street is the Laguna Beach House, and it's just a really short walk from the world-famous Las Brisas restaurant. The Laguna Beach House is a very uniquely decorated, retro-looking hotel, and it's near all the little pathways and parks with all the amazing artwork along the coast here. Go to inatlagunabeach.com or thelagunabeachhouse.com to make your reservation for your next escape. Come hang out with me in my online hale or home in our Facebook group. I'm probably the most active online in there, and I give support and answer questions and just have some great conversations with all the escape artists in the group. So you can go to ericaduran.co/FB group to join. All the links and the show notes for this episode will be at ericaduran.co/48. And this episode is a little bit topsy-turvy. So you might remember Michael Carboni from episode 35. Well, recently I was a guest on his podcast. His show is called Unleash Yourself. And I thought that it was such a great conversation and shared some things that I haven't really shared on this show yet, some more juicy details, I guess. So I thought I would just embed his show into mine. So what you'll be hearing is Michael interviewing me on his show, Unleash Yourself. You know, we've got to mix things up here sometimes, right? Now your freedom is waiting. Let's not waste any time.
This is episode number 23 with Erica Durand.
Welcome to the Unleash Yourself podcast. My name is Michael Carboni, and in each episode of the podcast, I will be highlighting incredible individuals who are on their way to achieving their dreams by simply unleashing themselves from the fears that once held them back. I want you to get inspired today and realize that if they can do it, so can you. So without further ado, let's dive right into the episode because it's time to get unleashed.
As you guys know, I publish a new episode every Wednesday morning, and last week I had Keith Brazé on the show.
In the last year and a half, I had $26 in my account, freaking out, no idea where it's going to happen business-wise, couldn't get a job, whatever, to now I've made, it's not a lot, but for a guy from broke and in debt and no freaking idea of what's going to happen financially, to have made 55 grand in the last year. I mean, that's not a lot, but here in the States, that's pretty average. I'm middle class in that terms and growing. All of my clients that are paying me regularly or have paid me have come from my blog or interacting or seeing the fact that I have interacted with these other influencers.
So if you missed last week's episode with Keith, or you simply want to catch up on all the previous episodes of the Unleash Yourself podcast, you can do so by heading on back over to michaelcarbone.ca. Now, before we get into this week's episode, I just wanted to give a quick shout out to a few loyal fans who took the time to leave a rating and review on iTunes this past week. Schwan569 says, "Amazing discovery. Love the podcast. Michael has this talent to light up each one of his guests to inspire people. Great job. Can't wait to see more in 2016. And Petite Pots Mel says, "Awesomeness. Not only is Michael humble, happy to share his knowledge, and just about the nicest guy you'll cross, but he also leads amazing interviews on his podcast. Keep up the great work and keep those interviews coming. Hashtag true fan." So a big thank you to those who took the time to leave a rating and review on iTunes this week. And if you want a chance to be featured on next week's episode, you can go ahead and leave your own rating and review on iTunes by simply searching for the Unleash Yourself podcast, or opening up your browser on your iPhone or on your laptop and typing in michaelcarbone.ca/subscribe. So again, you can just type in michaelcarbone.ca/subscribe and leave your own review so that you can be featured next week. All right. So this week's interview is with Erica Duran, and she is known for creating freedom-based luxury lifestyles. And Erica shares her story with us on this episode of the Unleash Yourself podcast. And she talks about a time where she was earning less than $1,000 per month and racking up credit card debt because she was living in LA and was really struggling with starting her own online business. Now, Erica had quit the corporate world because, as she said it herself, she just couldn't deal with all the restrictions and limitations that the corporate world had. So she said that she was set on doing it on her own and figuring it out along the way. And for a while, she bounced around from business to business, from job to job, trying to figure it out and trying to work her way into a business that would allow her to have the freedom and flexibility that she always wanted. She realized that it all starts with design. So you have to design the ideal lifestyle that you want in order to create a business around that. And she found ways of finding high level ideal clients that you want to work with, and not only clients that want to work with you. So she tells us her single moment of clarity, her turning point, and how she went from selling one-off $50 sessions to now selling high-end packages of over $12,000 per package. And she dives deep into some of the fears that she had and how she got over those fears, because initially she was letting those fears be the driver and she would second guess all her decisions. In this episode, she goes ahead and tells us how we can get over those fears of always second guessing ourselves and not being sure if we are enough of an expert to charge premium prices or to create our own consulting business or even create online courses. So I'll hand the stage over to Erica. And if you enjoy this episode, feel free to share it with a friend. Without further ado, here is my interview with Erica Duran. Hey everyone, welcome back to the show. Today joining me is Erica. Erica, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing amazing. Where are you joining us from today? Because I know that you're usually all over the world. So where are you joining us from?
I am in Laguna Beach, California. So not exactly all over the world, but usually beachy type places.
Yeah, like Hawaii, right?
Yes, perfect. Hawaii, Orange cool. County, Florida Keys, places like that.
Okay, so this side of the world and just like warm beachy areas.
Right.
Sounds good. So why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself, tell everyone what you're up to these days and what allows you to have that freedom to work from these warm beachy areas.
Okay. Well, again, my name is Erica Duran and I'm a business coach and mentor and a freedom-based luxury lifestyle designer. So I'm all about designing your lifestyle first and then building a business that'll fit into it. And I also host a podcast and a web TV show that the sponsors of that show are luxury resorts. So I get to stay at them while I'm recording for, as a sponsorship.
Cool. And how did you get to this point? Because obviously you weren't always doing this kind of thing or this sort of thing. So I know that you had a very traditional path when you first started off, and you spent like 15 years working in the corporate world. Is that right?
I did. I was a hotel executive and a theme park manager for 15 years. And of course, through the last 5 years of corporate, I was dabbling in a lot of multi-level things and, getting my financial planning licenses and brokerage licenses and all kinds of dabbling type things before I completely kind of just walked out at lunch one day and didn't come back to my corporate job.
And would you be open to sharing what happened that built up to that moment where you walked out on your lunch?
Yeah, I was really depressed. I really wanted the freedom that the multi-level companies and all kind of promise you. And I had just gotten back from a vacation in Seattle. And while I was gone, a lot of political things happened. And because I was gone, they blamed me for some stuff that I wasn't even there to do. So I called my husband at the time right before lunch, and he's like, you know what, just walk out of there. So I just kind of quietly packed up my stuff and left.
Yeah. So other than the, the things that you were getting blamed for that you weren't necessarily doing, what was it about the lifestyle that you were living then that just wasn't adequate or just wasn't letting you live a life of passion or inspiration? Because you say now that you do a lot of lifestyle planning and lifestyle work. So what was it about the lifestyle that you had back then that just wasn't satisfying you?
Right. Well, I was, of course, having a long commute in traffic every day in Orange County. And when you're in hotels, they are basically a 24-hour business. So when you're the manager or someone like that, you're on call 24 hours a day. So it could be the middle of the night and the front desk can run out of quarters or something and you have to drive in and give them what they need. excuse me. So it was the commute and the politics and just the long hours and everything. So then I thought I was going down the right path because I went from being on the hotel properties to being a marketing executive for the hotels and their timeshare properties. So that was, basically a 9-to-5 office job, but it was still in my industry. So I thought that would be the answer, and it still wasn't the answer. I still felt really trapped. I still didn't like, my boss telling me what to do when I thought it was the wrong idea for, their marketing plan or something. I was a 22-year-old know-it-all probably, and I didn't like being told what to do. Just the things all my clients tell me nowadays, those are the same things that were bothering me. The commute, the long hours, the pretending that you had to, I'd really, really productive and get all my work done in like 2 hours, but then I had to sit there till 5. So that bothered me because everyone else was goofing off and not getting their work done. But then you just kind of had to sit there and look busy till everyone else was done. So it's just those kind of games that were going on in the corporate world here.
For sure. And I totally get it because I was probably a 22 to 23-year-old know-it-all myself. I think the problem for me was because I went through the very, very, very similar thing that you did was just like, there's just sometimes when you have an idea, there's just no flexibility on the process or, there are certain standards or certain things that you have to do. And when I got the answer from my managers where they used to always say, like, we just don't do that way here, or it's just not possible to do it that way because there are certain frameworks we need to follow, or there are certain, paths that we have to take, or we have to go through so many people before it gets approved. So it's not even worth it. Like for me, that kind of stuff just didn't make sense. So I totally resonate with what you're saying. And especially when you're saying things like you can get work done in 3-4 hours, but then you still have to be there all day long because, it's your job and you have to stay there even if you're doing nothing. So obviously that makes for not the most productive time, right?
Right. And I couldn't believe them. Well, there's paying these people to goof off all day, and then they would have to stay late to get their work done because they were, you know, chatting all day or online. And another thing that was, I don't know if this bothers everyone, but it felt so yucky, those fake corporate retreat things where they have the leadership exercises and everything, because it just really showed that they're not true leaders. They're just kind of put into a position. I mean, if you have to go to these retreats and do all these exercises, it just seemed really unauthentic to me.
For sure. And how did you unleash yourself from this, you know, corporate world or all this inauthentic, you know, retreats and work style, like lifestyle, I should say?
Yeah, well, when I walked out, you know, I totally floundered for a while. The first thing I wanted to do as far as my lifestyle design was to get out of the suburbs of Orange County and move towards the coastal area of Orange County. So I sold my house and all of my belongings in it. I just kept enough to survive in a little, like, beachfront apartment. And so that kind of gave me, selling the house and a lot of my belongings kind of gave me the seed money to not go back to corporate. But, you know, beachfront property in Orange County, I went through that money pretty quickly. And I never had a business coach until the last 5 years. And so I really floundered a long time with, trying a lot of different things and not really being very focused.
So you talk about being focused. Do you think, actually I should phrase it this way. What was the moment, or how did you find that clarity, in order to sort through all that clutter and actually get focused? Because like you're doing, like, we actually have very, very similar stories. That's why I'm like really loving this. But me too, when I first started out and I quit my job and I started as an entrepreneur, I had no clue what I wanted to do. And I dabbled in a bunch of different things, but I was really giving nothing my full attention or giving it enough time to materialize. So I'd bounce from one thing to another. So that's why my question is, what allowed you to say, or to get that clarity or get that focus on one specific area of what you wanted to do?
Going through that process, I had always wanted to be a professional organizer. Like, I don't know if everyone in your audience knows about it, but those people on HGTV that come to your home or office and just kind of declutter and organize your life. So I always wanted to do that. I had a knack for it. And then going through that process myself of getting rid of all my stuff and selling it, other people wanted to do that as well. So I started a professional organizing business, but to add the element of the selling and getting people money for their stuff, I built an online platform. It was kind of like eBay, but it was not eBay because I didn't like working with eBay. And so I consigned their clutter for them for about 30 to 50% of what it was sold for. And, that was an extra excuse for me to get the clutter out of their hands because they're very emotionally attached to their clutter. So I say, okay, if we can get this much for it, will you release it? So that doing that process myself kind of built my first business. And I actually did that for close to 15 years, the professional organizing and decluttering and consignment. So I started even professional organizing when I was in corporate. So it overlapped a little bit, but when I went full steam with it, I was out of corporate for 4 years already, I believe. So that grew into a franchised business where we had 15 locations across the country. And then I got kind of trapped and depressed again because it felt like corporate again, and I wasn't doing organizing anymore. I was selling consignment opportunities. So I wasn't working in my passion then, so I kind of built myself a job. And then I had a warehouse in Long Beach, California to store all the clutter of all these people. And I was there every day like a job. And I'm like, so again, 10 years later, I'm like, what am I doing now? It was like another epiphany.
Right. And what'd you do from there?
From there, I had this, you know, I don't know if it was an exact moment of clarity, but I definitely had to get out of that situation because I wasn't happy. So I wanted to take my business online, and the best thing I knew how to do was time management and productivity, because I was a trainer for Franklin Covey for a while in that realm. So I just started an online productivity company, and then for teaching people time management productivity, and then that totally morphed into business coaching, because I just listened to everyone that was coming to me, and they were coming to me more for business and technology problems, more so than time management. And time management is just a tiny little piece of business coaching, so it kind of fit in.
Cool. And what was that like transitioning from, you know, you started your own business, but it was like this business that required you to be physically present, and you kind of created a new job for yourself. So what was it like transitioning from that to like an online business?
It was pretty rough, because we had to liquidate everything fast from the warehouse because I was just done one day. it was like a fire sale, I guess you would call it. And I was actually lucky enough to sell the software to an actual brick and mortar consignment store. So that just, dissolved basically. And, I started just grassroots again, going to local networking meetings and, getting referrals for the product. Even though it was an online, I felt it was an online business. That was probably another mistake. I'm probably mixing up your show segments, but.
No, it's all good.
But this is, another mistake I did. I felt I had an online presence and an online business, but I kept getting clients from going to networking meetings. So that was a little bit, now that I look back at it, that was a little backwards.
So could you explain a little bit more as to, you know, when you say the word online business, what exactly were you doing online? Were you creating like service products, or you were doing like coaching? But you said like your clients are also coming from in-person meetings. So what were you trying to do at that point?
Yeah, I had a pretty elaborate website, and I had a lot of social media going on. I had workshops, teleclasses. I had a lot of online elements. But the actual people that paid me money were people I met in person at networking groups, and then referrals from that. So that just showed me that the know, like, and trust factor is a little bit easier, of course, in person, and online, you really have to come across with that in a really authentic way to get the know, like, and trust, to get the conversions online.
Yeah, so it's obviously a little more difficult to show that authenticity or to build that know, like, and trust. And I also remember you telling me at one point that you were earning less than $1,000 per month, and you were racking up credit card debt. Was this while you were trying to build that business from the beginning, or am I going back in time now after you're meeting people in person?
This is kind of two different times. One was when I, you know, I sold everything and moved to the beach, and then, you know, like I said, beachfront property is kind of expensive. So I went through that money pretty quickly, not being really focused and just thinking I had this big cushion. And then the second time was, you know, the stumbling between the professional organizing and the online business.
Okay, so let's go more into the online business. And, you know, you mentioned that you had a turning point, there was a moment of clarity, and now you're working with, you know, clients that you're meeting at networking events, or, you know, referrals from these clients. And you went from a point where you were charging $50 for one-off sessions to then transitioning and like changing your position and like selling $12,000+ packages. Could you talk to us a little bit about that?
Yes, that is when I switched from productivity to full-on business coaching. So I basically took all the different programs that I used to teach. I used to teach them in little single segments, or I do a website here and there, or help someone with their social media here and there. And I stopped doing that completely and just made packages in the way that I wanted to work with them. And, put these packages together. And it really was in a sense of service too, because I wasn't helping people. I can't really help someone in a one-off session. Like, sure, they might get some great ahas and maybe some tips, But to truly help someone from A to Z is not going to happen in that 1 hour session. So I put these packages together to pretty much help someone from A to Z, from coming up with their concept to fixing their marketing, their cleaning up their website so it's really clear and it converts, to their sales funnels, to just anything, their money kind of mindset issues, and even their lifestyle design. So making sure if they want to work 3 days a week and have 4 day weekends with their family, that happens.
Okay. So you transitioned again. So you went from the productivity business to then the full out coaching business, right?
Right. Full on business coaching.
And did you ever have any fears when you were moving from one to the other? Cause you moved, you know, across a few different businesses or a few different jobs, or, you know, they didn't necessarily have, the most carryover per se,
right.
But did you ever have like any fears to be like, okay, now that I'm moving from like productivity business to full on business coaching, is anyone going to like hire me, or is anyone going to pay me? Do you have any fears about that?
That one wasn't too bad. It was, you know what the fear was there were so many business coaches running around that I thought were, I hate to say it, but I thought they were idiots. And okay. They're running around online saying they're business coaches, and I just didn't want to call myself that. So that was the biggest fear for me, was getting over that title and really calling myself that. But of course there were fears of, you know, getting, you know, podcasting, videos, those things that you've never done before. I did them in the past, but this was in a different realm. And this was like going to be online forever. So that's kind of the thing that scared me, that probably scared me the most, was the media and, getting over those fears that it's going to be online forever and people can download it. And that just kind of was a fear for me.
And what did you do to get over that? And why do you think that bothered you per se?
I don't know. I guess it's just the commitment, I guess, of it just being out there and people can download it on their phone and keep it and 5 years later find it. And I think because I've transitioned so much, I could be a different person by then and they'd have that old information, I guess.
Yeah, like it's evergreen, right?
Yeah. And so to get over it, I did about 30 videos in one day. And at that point, you don't even care. You're just, whereas happy hour, you don't even care.
I've been doing
30 in one day. So, that's how I got over it. Just doing it. And, I procrastinated a lot at first. And then one day I was just sick of myself and did them.
Yeah. And I really appreciate that story, because I think like for me too, when I had to film like a lot of video or a podcast, and I'm not the most like outgoing person in the world. Like if you put me in a big room with a bunch of people, I don't really navigate too well or I don't do too well socially. So when I had to go put myself on camera, I was almost like, I'm shy and like I lose my words and I'm not sure what I should say and how I should act. And then, I mean, if you just keep that video rolling and you film for like hours and hours as it's you're trying to make it better, I think, like at least in my experience, I got so tired and drained from the process that my, you know, the shyness or the caring of what I look like and how I came across kind of like decreased. So I was like more confident because I was just like tired, and it just pushed aside the fears, I find.
Yeah, you kind of just, I guess, you numb over it, or you get through it. I guess get through it is a better
word. I think numb is also pretty good. You just change, your emotions like just come down a little bit and you're just more accepting of it.
Yeah. And it's just practice. I mean, it is a lot. If, you know, if you don't have a big crew with you, you know, you're trying to do all the mechanics and everything too. So it is a little hard when you're starting out. Trying to manage all the technology and all too as well. I'm sure that scares a lot of people.
Yeah, it's just this thing that seems like there's so many different functional pieces to it that you don't really know if you can like manage to do them all. And I know that you also help other people realize that they don't have to be the person that does anything, or does everything, I should say.
Yeah.
You know, they can focus on one thing that they're really good at, and they don't have to do all the technical stuff, all the editing, all the producing, all everything, right?
Oh, of course. That's how they get their 4 day weekends and things like that.
Yeah, so talk a little bit more about that. Maybe, I don't know if you, like, what you suggest that they do, and maybe tell us, like, some steps that the audience can follow.
Yeah, I've had this system for a while where I only take phone calls and clients on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And then I do all the writing and videos, like I'll do all the videos one day a month on a Friday, perhaps. And then I'll do all the blogs one day on a Monday. So pretty much I'm working 3 days a week unless there's some function or something weird happens. So that way, if I'm all caught up on my work, if I'm really productive Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and squeeze my work in between client calls, I essentially could have four day weekends every week. So it doesn't work for every type of business, but I do an ideal week blueprint with people to kind of map out what it could look like, where all their kid, their stuff with their kids' school and what they're, planning their meals down to getting their work done. So we try to map out and do a lot of time management in my business coaching, just because that's pretty much the core of your whole lifestyle, is being able to manage your time.
Yeah. And once you get more, clear on your time and your scheduling, how do you get clear on how you're going to do it and who you want to work with?
I actually just work with my clients to see what they really enjoy doing and what their skills are, what they're good at, what they're bad at. And sometimes even when they enjoy something, they really shouldn't be doing it because it's too admin or it's too technical. So if they really like editing their videos, but it takes them 20 hours and it could take a video editing person 1 hour, it just doesn't make sense for them to keep doing it even though they enjoy it. Because the bigger picture is their lifestyle. So I also am a big believer of, making the money first, being totally focused for 30 to 90 days on just hustling and making the money coming in, so you can hire these people to help you with the editing and the social media and everything like that, Facebook ads, things like that. They don't have to spend, thousands of dollars and hours and weeks or months learning these things like Facebook ads and how to do everything, when if they just focused on making the money first and hiring it out, having a basic understanding, of course, so they don't get taken advantage of when they're hiring out. But I just see so many entrepreneurs spending weeks and on these courses and so much money I don't think it's really necessary, unless they really, really as a hobby want to learn Facebook ads or something like that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I totally get it. And I know a lot of people right now are thinking, like, okay, you say to spend 30 to 90 days like making money or having some revenue stream, but it's easier said than done, right? So what are some steps that people can do who are potentially like who recently started a business and they're struggling to create that revenue stream? What's like one quick thing that, maybe an aha moment that they can listen to this podcast and be like, oh yeah, you know what? I never thought of doing things that way, to start creating some revenue, even if it's not like tens of thousands of dollars, but to at least start having those small wins that you have some money coming in and you build that confidence.
Yeah, well, a few things. The fastest way to cash is probably one-on-one services if you just need a cash inflow. So put down your info product for a while and focus on that just so you can survive. Another thing is really, it's happened for me and my clients, really getting out from behind the computer. And I don't mean that literally. I mean, you could still meet people online, but take it to the phone or take it to a coffee meeting as soon as possible, so you build the know, like, and trust factor so much faster. If you just goof around and are internet friends for months, things probably aren't going to happen for you as fast.
Yeah. And I think this is something I went through a while and I still deal with it now. It's like, I'm just a little stubborn when it comes to taking things in person, because I'm like, I work from my laptop. I like to travel. I'm an online entrepreneur, right? I don't want to do things in person purely for principle,
yeah,
which is terribly wrong, right? But like you said, it does definitely build the know, like, and trust much faster, and you can really accelerate that relationship process.
Yeah, I guess you could be stubborn or you can make money. I guess I was really stubborn for a long time too. And then I just surrendered. And I don't meet people too much offline. If I go to a particular city where I have a lot of followers or I know a lot of people, I'll do a meetup. So I kind of control it and I get, you know, 20 people in a room at once. So I don't have to have 20 coffee dates. So that's, you know, that's been really helpful. And then I'm doing a new LinkedIn thing where I'm automating a coffee date, phone call, virtual coffee date, calendar link to anyone that friends me on LinkedIn.
Interesting. Nice. Yeah. I actually love that quote where you said you can be stubborn or you can make money.
Yeah.
But it's true. That's what it really comes down to. A lot of times we get too stubborn in our ways and then we have to just be realistic and be like, okay, am I going to be principal be spiteful almost to myself, or am I going to just focus on results?
Yeah.
How could someone like find those dream clients that you seem to work with on a larger scale than most people? Because, you know, I have a lot of people that come to me and like, Michael, I'm doing fairly well, but my clients are draining me. Like they're paying me, you know, they're buying my course for like $300, but then they keep calling me and they keep me on the phone for hours, or I offer like a 30-minute free consultation, but then the phone call goes for an hour and a half. So these are not the clients I want to work with. I want to work with those clients that know what they want. You know, they get results and they're effective and they're efficient, and it allows me to be effective and efficient too. So how do we, you know, where do we find these dream clients, and how do we like change our marketing or our positioning in order to find them on a bigger scale?
Okay, well, this is where you have to be stubborn. This is the time to be stubborn, is setting your boundaries with the clients. And it really takes a lot of mindset work because, I mean, in the beginning, we're all after surviving and getting enough money. So you want to take any client you can. But then, like you said, you're drained and you have no energy to go market and be fresh for the next client or the next prospect. So I make my clients create an ideal client checklist so that, you know, you're strong in the ideal person that you want to work with. And if they don't meet your criteria, you have to strongly and confidently just refer them to someone else, or maybe refer them to your online product or something like that. So some things on the checklist could be, you know, has a good sense of humor, makes decisions quickly, is on time, stuff like that. So the make decisions quickly would be, you know, if you're on that free consult and they're like, I don't know, I have to think about it, you know, that puts up a red flag that they're not going to make decisions quickly and maybe they're not ready yet. So that's one thing. And I give them a client guidelines before we start working together of basically all the rules. So for example, everyone works better when they know the rules. So for example, I have on there, all coaching needs to be on the phone or email. So basically don't Facebook me a message and expect me to find it and that be your coaching. It needs to be through email. So just setting up those boundaries. Like that. And I don't take phone calls that aren't scheduled, things like that.
Yeah. So really like putting certain restrictions on the behavior, almost like you're dating, right? You're looking for certain criteria in this person that you want to be with. You're looking for certain criteria in the person that you want to work with.
Well, yeah, it's a relationship just like any relationship. So the behaviors have to be, there has to be chemistry and there has to be respect. And it's for their own good too. They need to start behaving professionally if they want to succeed. So it's for their own good.
Definitely. Yeah. And what could you tell those who, you know, want to do this, but they have fear about, you know, not being good enough to charge a premium price or not having confidence enough to like be, you know, confident enough to say, like, here are the restrictions, and they're kind of shy because, like, I don't want to upset someone. You know, how could they shift their mindset?
Well, just you know, behind the scenes information, everyone that I've given the guidelines to is like, oh, thank you. That's so helpful. I mean, I know how to contact you and when and where, and I know when you're, you know, I know you don't work, you only work Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, stuff like that. So they're very thankful. So people like to be led And that just positions you too in the relationship as the leader or the coach is giving out the rules and the guidelines. And then the fear of not knowing enough. I mean, hopefully you've picked or chosen a subject that you're, you know, proficient at. And that old saying, you know, you're, as long as you know 80% or what is it? I don't even know the saying, 80% more than the general population, you're pretty much an expert in that topic. So just not getting caught up in that. Am I really an expert or, it's kind of an internal fear, I believe. And once you get a few clients, you'll get over that. And, if you believe you can truly help someone or, that you're working in service and you're working, you know, authentically in a good way, I don't think there should be too much of an issue there.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it has to do with people potentially listening to this episode and being like, okay, I want to charge a premium price, but they're going to go from, let's say, you know, starting at the bottom to instantly charging a premium price. And obviously, they're going to have certain fears because they don't really know with certainty that they can execute or can offer enough value to justify that price. So a lot of it should just be like, start helping people on a lower scale or on a smaller price point, or even for free if you have no experience, in order to start building that confidence. That's going to give you the confidence to charge a little more, and then you slowly increase your prices when you realize that, look at all these people I'm helping, I actually can do this, and people are learning and they're getting a ton of value out of my stuff. So I totally love how you put that. And you spoke also a lot about the value of coaching and how it changed your life. So before I let you go, because I know you have a ton of stuff to get done, but could you talk a little bit more about the value of coaching or the value of having a mentor and how that's changed your life and your business and how you're doing that for other people as well?
Yeah, well, it kind of harkens back to your last question about how can I charge these prices. It really is. The moment you invest that amount, it's this kind of magical internal struggle thing goes away and you're like, okay, I'm a pro now. I can charge that much. So it's kind of weird how that happens, but I see it time and time again with myself and my clients. You know, I invested $5,000 in this so-and-so's program, and, you know, I could turn around now and charge these rates. And another thing, not to keep going back to your last question, but I think it's important, that these premium clients, they're not unicorns. They're just regular people like you and me that want a big change in their life. So they're not these mythical creatures, and they're everywhere. You just have to know what their biggest kind of pain point is, or what their biggest struggle is, or what transformation they want to make. And then, you know, they think it's priceless once you get them to describe that change that they want. So whatever price point you pick, it's really priceless on the other end. And then as for me, it's just coaching is, you know, really what I think has helped me through this whole latest, this business process that I'm going through right now. And it's just really transformed the way I work and the way I think and the way I deal with money, and really focused me, held me accountable, and asked questions that maybe my conscience was asking me, but I wasn't paying attention. But when another person is outside of your business and looking in, they can see so clearly what you're doing wrong, and you cannot see it. No matter how smart you are, how good you are, you're just too close to your own situation.
Oh, I totally agree with it. And also to add on the coaching thing, I think if you're currently doubting the value of a coach, it's because you haven't necessarily invested in one. So you don't necessarily know what mind shifts or what aha moments you can get out of it. And I think that was a big obstacle for me in the past, was always not being sure if my investment in a program or a course or whatever would have a good ROI for me. So I'd always like not do it, because I'm like, I don't want to spend this much on a course because I don't know if I'll get anything out of it. And that proved to be a huge obstacle because I never invested in the course. And then one day when I actually did, that like threw down all objections, and it changed everything for me. And it also, I think, helped me realize that, you know, it gave me more confidence to do my own coaching and to reach out to other people, because I said, if I never took a course, I can't really see the value in it. So it's hard for me to be confident in myself to provide value if I don't see it in other people. So I think also like working with someone that's going to give you confidence as a coach, if you want to do that, to go ahead and create your own course, when you see that other people can do it and they've helped you, now you can say, like, wow, I have this knowledge that I can pass on and help other people as well.
Right. And I think that, of course, you're going to invest in programs and coaching and mentorships that don't work for you. And that doesn't mean the next one won't. So you have to not think that way either, that, okay, well, I invested in so-and-so and that didn't work. Well, maybe it was the coach, maybe it was you, maybe you weren't ready for that kind of breakthrough yet. So I just want people to know that, you know, if you've invested in something before and it didn't work for you, that doesn't mean you don't, that doesn't mean you stop.
Definitely. Yeah. And I love this. So where can I send everyone to follow you online, like social media, your websites, and where can they go to find out more about you?
Yeah. Well, ericaduran.co has all the links to every social media in the header and footer. And I think I'm on all of them, except maybe I'm not really on Snapchat that much, but all the major social media is there. The most interaction personally with me is in my Facebook group, and that's also on my website.
Cool. So I'm going to go ahead and create an entire page for this episode. So if you're listening and you want to get all the links to Erica's social media, her websites, her Facebook pages, I'll put them all in one place. So you can go back to michaelcarbone.ca/023 to get everything we spoke about in this episode. All the links will be all there, conveniently located. You just got to click on them and then go ahead and follow Erica online. So Erica, thank you so much for taking the time to be here with us today, and enjoy your beautiful life around the beaches.
Thank you. It was so much fun.
And there you have it, guys. That's my interview with Erica Duran. And if you enjoyed this episode and you have not subscribed to the podcast yet, make sure you subscribe so that you don't ever miss another episode. So if you're listening to this on my website over at michaelcarbone.ca, make sure you scroll down right below the audio player and click subscribe on iTunes. And if you're listening to this on a smartphone, you can open up your browser right now. This episode won't stop playing. Type in michaelcarbone.ca/subscribe. Again, that's michaelcarbone.ca/subscribe. And that'll bring you right into the podcasts app on iTunes. And you can subscribe right there. So again, thank you guys so much for your support. My name is Michael Carbone, and I'll see you next time.
Welcome to Laguna Beach, California. Footsteps from room to village to sea, no car required. The Laguna Beach House and the Inn at Laguna Beach. Two unique boutique hotel properties to make your stay memorable in Orange County's premier destination. The Laguna Beach House, chic coastal decor and vintage furniture create the look and feel of an open, airy beach cottage. Their convenient location is within a short walking distance to Main Beach and downtown Laguna Beach. Personalized service and attention to detail provide for the ultimate Laguna Beach getaway. And the Inn at Laguna Beach. Experience a luxury escape in the heart of Laguna Beach with the finest art galleries, shopping, dining, and nightlife just steps from your door. Enjoy unsurpassed views of the Pacific Ocean from your beachfront hotel room, the pool, and the Pacific Terrace rooftop bar. Blending the style of a timeless beach bungalow with the modern comforts of today, 70 newly appointed guest rooms and suites await you. To see which beautiful property is right for you and to book your stay, visit inn@lagunabeach.com or thelagunabeachhouse.com. Want to partner with me? Would you like to get your business showcased in front of thousands of productive-minded lifestyle entrepreneurs and travelers? Why not become a sponsor of The Erica Duran Show, freedom-based lifestyle design radio? Go to ericaduran.co/sponsor to see if this partnership is right for you. Mahalo. Kauhana escape artist's work is done on this episode. I know you came here to listen to my show, but this conversation was such a great one with Michael that I wanted to share it with you. And I think our favorite quote of that show and the one that we've been tweeting a lot is stay stubborn or make money. We've been both getting a lot of use out of that tweet. I hope that you will subscribe to Michael's podcast. Again, it's called Unleash Yourself, and we have very similar themes and audiences, so you just might want to add that one to your playlist. And Michael is also a member of our Facebook group, so if you go to ericaduran.co/FB group and join the Facebook group, you'll be able to hang out with myself and Michael there. Remember, if you would like expert guidance, support, and accountability to design your freedom-based business and luxury lifestyle, don't be shy. Apply for your complimentary Aloha Strategy session today at ericaduran.co/Aloha. And now we are actually offering a 2-night stay at a luxury resort with all of my VIP day intensives. So you just might be able to get your stay at the beautiful inn at Laguna Beach on me. Again, those links and show notes are at ericaduran.co/48. Ahui ho, until we meet again, sending you aloha.
Thank you for listening to The Erica Duran Show, freedom-based lifestyle design radio. Be sure to go to ericaduran.co to get all of this episode's show notes and resource links. And while you're there, don't forget to subscribe. Never settle. Mahalo.